The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. I am once again joined by Anthony Dittmar on Twitter, that is at AnthonyDittmar_, and Joe Farrow on Twitter, that is at TheJoeFarrow. What's going on, guys?
It's good, bro. We finally won. I mean, I don't mean finally. They won because I wasn't there. So the Nets have up against the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean, it was a gritty, tough game that we just watched. But like we've been saying, any young athletic team with a good point guard will give the Nets trouble. And that is exactly the definition of the Detroit Pistons. And they gave us trouble. So luckily we came out with the win, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, everyone's like, oh, you barely beat the Pistons. But a side note from the Nets real quick. The Pistons, like, they've been bad for a while. But they, I think they have a bright future. I think Cade's going to be an absolute stud. Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant, like they got some pieces. So if you're a Pistons fan, I don't know why you'd listen to this podcast, but if you are, you guys got a bright future. So hang in there, maybe one more year, and then you guys should at least be a playoff team, I would imagine. Because, I mean, and they fit the recipe for what the Nets can't beat or struggle to beat, like Joe just said. Athletic, talented guard, young athletic, come at you, turn into like the 2016 Golden State Warriors in Barclays Center somehow, but
it doesn't everyone.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. And I saw Isaiah Stewart knock two down. He was 2-2. I was like, God damn it. And then Bagley hit when I was like, yep, it's going to be one of them nights.
Yeah.
But all that matters. Nets got the win.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a long and hard fought one. We had the lead at 21-20, and then we didn't have the lead again until like 70-68 or whatever it was. And then the Pistons got the lead again towards the end, but then at around the 5-minute mark in the fourth, Kevin Durant and everybody else just really decided to turn it the hell up. And we barely escaped with a victory.
Yeah. Before
early on when we were down 12, like I know it was like 9-for-13 shooting from three and that's to come down. But like, it was just like everybody, I feel like, shoots lights out of our Barclays Center. It's unreal on the visiting team. Like I was just another Charlotte.
I was going to say, except the Nets, everyone but the Nets. But before we go more in depth onto our takes on the game, we got another Ben Simmons update from Nash. Shoot around before the game said that Ben Simmons still hasn't been able to do anything on the court and said he does not believe that he's had a second MRI on his back. Anthony, it's almost looking more like your prediction of that we're not seeing Ben Simmons this year. It's getting coming closer and closer to coming true, unfortunately.
We're getting like one of these like Friday news dumps, like with like a week left or not even, like just saying like, yeah, not really going to come back this year. I think this is all PR at this point. Like, they've lied to us all year about injuries. Like, we saw what happened to Joe Harris. There's no clarity for, like, the whole year besides his announcement of being out for the season for the most part. Like, everything we heard was, like, leaks from, like, Chris Haynes or, like, other, like, media outlets. And I just feel like because of the Harden trade, like, they had to, like, kind of, like, save face a little bit with this injury. Because if it is announced right away, like, it's not looking good, then it kind of, like, fans might get mad. I guess they're hoping that, like, making a strong run in the playoffs will kind of, like, mask that. That's what I think personally. Because, dude, there's, like, 6 games left. Like, he hasn't even, like, done individual workouts on the court. Like, how is he going to come back? The freaking playing is, what, April
12th?
Yeah. It's April 1st, like, Friday. Like, that's – we're, like, a little over 2 weeks out, and he hasn't done individual workouts. Like, a best case scenario, I don't think he even plays the play-ins, is if he comes in, like, a round one series against, like, whoever we play in the first rounds. Because right now it's very up in the air. But
yeah, and, I mean, I feel pretty bad for the Nets season ticket holders for this year. Because, like, I mean, you got to think, like, there was a long stretch where we didn't have KD. Kyrie hasn't been allowed to play at home until literally last game. James Harden was here for half the year, then got traded for a guy for, like, the big piece of that trade. Also hasn't played ever since. So, like, these guys, everybody bought tickets expecting a show all year long, like all the season ticket holders, and they really haven't gotten that. It's been a lot of mix and match all year. And, like, the people who are re-upping their season tickets next year better get a little bit of a discount. I'm telling you that much.
Discount. Yeah. They raised prices on next year, Joe. They freaking shot them way up. I don't remember the percent, but they're up a very good amount for next season.
Robbery.
Everyone's complaining about it on Twitter.
Yeah, and if somebody keeps emailing me about buying season tickets, I'm not doing that shit ever. No way.
Yeah. I mean, if I lived in the area, I'd probably snag them, but I got a story. When before KD and Kyrie signed with the Nets, probably 3 months beforehand, so like towards the end of the season before going to the offseason, I was talking to my uncle and I was like, you know, I really think KD and Kyrie are coming to Brooklyn. I was like, I just got this feeling. I don't know why. I was like, I've seen some rumors, but then you got Stephen A. Smith saying like no shot, et cetera. They're going to the Knicks. So I almost bought season tickets as an investment. I was like, you know, I'm going to buy these. They're, like, super cheap right now. I'll probably go to, like, 3 games and sell the rest. But, like, if they get KD and Kyrie, I'm going to make a shit ton of money. And then they got them, and I didn't buy the tickets, and I was so pissed. And then COVID hit, so the tickets didn't even matter. I was just like, yeah.
So there's a little bit of give and take there, I guess.
Yeah. But my favorite part on the game tonight – was Andre Drummond when the Pistons ran the hack of Drummond at the end of the game. He knocked 4 down in a row and he pointed and stared down his former team. That had me dying. I mean, absolutely dying. That's how low and bad the game was. That was like my favorite point.
Yeah, that was definitely because like there wasn't like as good of a game and as tough of a game as it was. It just felt like a lot of BS happening until Bruce Brown just knocked down like 6 corner threes in a row. And then like KD and Kate Cunningham just went back and forth like the entire fourth quarter. So those were fun, but it was just like, there was a lot of sloppy basketball from the Nets tonight. Sure. There was one play in particular of, believe it or not, James Johnson.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Getting minutes once again and just thinking he's Kyrie Irving, dribbling around everybody and eventually losing the ball and getting into a jump ball. It was just, there was a lot of sloppy moments tonight. That one was pretty notable because you are watching it and wondering, like, why in the hell are we running point James Johnson once again? I'm just like, that it sickens me. It really does.
The one pisses me off. He took a little midi. Well, it's like,
oh, yeah. Guys all over the place.
I don't know. I guess Nash is getting really tight in his rotations because, once again, I know Cody mentioned it last time, no LaMarcus Aldridge, no Blake Griffin. A little bit talked about that. We didn't see any Cam Thomas again back-to-back games. I think he's really trying to get locked into his playoff rotations because, like, that's two games in a row. Like, I don't know. Who's to know, like, what he does in the last six games? Maybe, like, Aldridge comes in for certain matchups. I'd be less likely, I think, we see Blake or Cam unless, like, guys go down. But it's just interesting. I'm not sure. I guess Claxton and Drummond is the ideal center rotation right now. It's looking like, I would have to guess. I like the closing lineup, though, of Kyrie, KD, Dragic, Curry, Drummond. I think it's a really good closing lineup.
Yeah, that's real. I agree. Because that's, I mean, all season long, we were thinking that that would be the closing lineup. But not all season long, ever since the trade happened. And we envisioned that Patty Mills would not turn to absolute ass and that he would be in the spot of Goran Dragic. But Dragic has filled a really big role, and he deserves to be in that closing lineup, to be quite honest.
His playmaking, too, is insane. Like, he's probably the best vision when he net in the team.
I mean, Ben Simmons on the team, but, you know.
Net, that wear jerseys.
Yeah, man, Dragic is, like, the best true point guard on the Nets. He's really, I mean, Kyrie's obviously a point guard, but plus Ben Simmons, I guess, but Dragic is really, like, the true playmaking, pass-first, like, true point guard the Nets have. Yeah. And I don't know. Kyrie tonight, like, I get he likes to play off the ball, but I don't know if you guys feel it the same way or I'm just bugging, but I feel like he was incredibly passive, and he was kind of just jogging around, kind of going through the motions. And there were several possessions in that fourth quarter in the beginning when KD wasn't even on the floor. And Kyrie didn't touch the ball for like three or four straight possessions. And he's just standing over there in the corner. Like, go get the ball, bro. Like, you're Kyrie Irving. What are you doing?
No, yeah. And that's what me and Anthony were saying when we were at the last game. Because it's just like they were like failing a lot about like getting Kyrie Irving the ball. Like, you know, his adrenaline is at an all-time high right now. When we were like, obviously not talking about tonight, talking about the Hornets game. And we were sitting there firsthand and just watching, like, Kyrie Irving's just standing in the corner on half of these possessions and not even really getting him into a set and getting him the ball. It's like, it felt like Steve Nash right now has two different playbooks, like the Kyrie not available playbook and the Kyrie available playbook. And like, he's, even though Kyrie's available, it feels like he's still using the Kyrie not available playbook.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if Kyrie like wants to integrate like slowly back into it. Doesn't want to like step on anyone's feet, or I don't know, because he wasn't there. But like, you're Kyrie Irving, like,
yeah, like he shouldn't be worried about stepping on anyone's feet. Like, you're a however many time All Star, you hit the biggest shot in like NBA Finals history. Like, you're all NBA. 50, 40, 90, get the damn ball. You're, and, like, on top of it, you're the best ball handler in the history of basketball. Like, put the ball in his hands. Like, he can create almost anybody.
He took 18 shots tonight, which is the second most on the team, but it didn't feel like it. Like, it didn't feel like he had any very big impact at all in the game. Like, he was 7 of 18, which obviously isn't great. He did knock down 4 threes. But I just feel like he was watching, or he was just jogging on offense. And I don't know, it was frustrating to watch. I saw it against Charlotte as well.
And yeah, and I mean, defensively, he was getting blown by a lot the last two games. So, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's definitely a big difference from like that Heat game. Cause like Kyrie Kyrie was locked in on both ends in that Heat game. But it's just like the last two games. And obviously, we're not going to pin any like struggles on Kyrie because it's more on offense and getting him involved. But on the defensive side of the ball, he definitely has looked like a little slow on defense the last two games. Hopefully, like a little bit of when do we play next? Thursday or Saturday?
Thursday
against Milwaukee.
Thursday? Goddamn. Like, we have four games in 6 days.
Yeah.
That's rough. I mean, even though, like, this is, like, right now we're in a stretch where, like, we're playing, like, the easiest schedule. It's, like, the day's rest isn't helping them. Like, it's still rough. Like you saw, like a young athletic team like the Pistons against like a Nets team that's mostly filled with veterans. It's like, regardless of how good your guys are, if you don't have the legs underneath you, it's just like, it's going to be like what we saw tonight. It's going to be a tough, tough game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Nets were kind of like saving themselves because knowing they got Milwaukee, big game. I feel like even last season we saw this as well. The Nets kind of played down to their opponents, and they turned it up last year in the playoffs. I think RJ said something during the game when they kind of turned it up in that third quarter, and they were like, yeah, when you got like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on your team. And he was even talking about when he was on the Cavs with Kyrie and LeBron, and he was like, I'll do my 1%. LeBron and Kyrie, you can do the other 99%, and like we know we're never really out of a game or whatever. So RJ was kind of talking to it, and then he was like, then you turn it up in the playoffs. Like, that's what these players do. And we saw it last year, but, I mean, they won the game. That's all that matters. And I expect the intensity. They were getting beat to loose balls tonight. Like, they got, like, five off. The Pistons got, like, five offensive rebounds on one possession in the third quarter. And it wasn't like they were bigger than them. They were just getting balls that were on the floor. And the Nets were not. So I expect the intensity, the effort to really pick it up against the Bucks on Thursday. We saw it against Philly, and we saw it against Miami on Saturday. The Bucks are in that same category.
Out the next game against the Bucks, like we did tonight, and just really just compete with them. I mean, it shouldn't be an issue with Miami. I mean, it might help that they've been able to be home ever since Sunday. Like, I mean, they got in late, like Sunday morning. At Kyrie said he didn't get into his bed until 6 a.m. But from Sunday, and then I'm assuming they leave tomorrow night or afternoon, like getting a couple of days at home, maybe that'll help. But at the end of the day, it's like you got to find a way to tough out this game, especially now that we took back possession of the eighth seed with the Nuggets beating the Hornets last night and us grabbing a win tonight against the Pistons. So that's huge for the Nets as a whole. So hopefully they're able to just tough out another win and get another little 2 days before our next game after that.
They're home actually against Milwaukee, so that'd be big
for them. Oh, are we home against Milwaukee? Oh, well, yes. Yes, sir. I thought we were on the road for some reason. But, at the end of the day, it's just like just stay home, get some rest. I would be shocked if we even practice tomorrow before – like if we even practice tomorrow, because these guys have got to be tired. Like there's no way around it.
Yeah, for sure. I know they didn't practice yesterday, so I would be surprised if they practice tomorrow.
Yeah. And I mean, they might just do a light practice day of that Bucks game, but
yeah.
Just normal shoot around stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant was incredible. Like, I have a serious question. So say you take Kevin Durant off the Nets and you put him on, just like a hypothetical, you put him on like the worst teams in the NBA. Like if you put Kevin Durant on the Pistons, who have the tie for the worst record in the NBA, you think they're a championship contender? I'm not saying favorite, but contender?
I have no clue.
No.
Really?
I think they're a contender. Like they're a playoff lock. With Kevin Durant, I don't think they're a contender though.
I think he's so good that you can put him on any team and they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean it's all hypothetical, but you basically can probably put Kevin Durant on 25 out of 30 teams in the NBA, and they're a championship contender. probably in this type of football.
It's crazy. Like, it's so effortless for him. Like, he had, what, 41 tonight?
Yep.
I know it was the Pistons. 41, he had 11 boards, 5 assists. He was 14 of 23, so super efficient. 4 of 6 from 3.
Blocks too, right?
Yeah, he had four blocks. Yeah, 4 blocks. He was a plus 18. And it's just like the one knock he had this month, while he averaged like over 30 points a game, shot like 50%. He was only shooting 34% from 3. So to see him knock him down tonight was a good thing. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't expect him to struggle from shooting the ball for too long, but to see him kind of get into a rhythm tonight was nice. Drummond was good again, in my opinion. That man's just a walking double-double. Like, you look up 5 minutes in the game, he already has 7 rebounds somehow, like, every game.
The guy's a beast, Drummond. And I don't know what more we could say about him, except, like, he just does all the dirty work, and it's awesome. Like, that's basically all you can say. Guys like him and Bruce Brown, and they're just really carrying the load in terms of like being the scrappy guys on this team that we need, which is what we signed James Johnson to do, but that guy stinks.
Just one quick thing on Drummond. Last episode, I said like he had the Instagram story where he basically called someone like a clown or whatever for trying to run with the story. Today, he was asked by a Nets beat about that story and what he said about Claxton. And he said, would I love to be here? Absolutely. Can I control that right now? No. I can only control what's happening right now, so we know that. Don't misuse my words. That's not fair to me, and that's not right. Uh-huh. So, I mean – I said before, he's been a great fit, and I hope somehow that the Nets find a way to bring him back. Obviously, he definitely deserves more than the minimum. He's only 28, which is sneaky because I feel like he's been around forever. But yeah, that's the story to keep an eye on. I mean, obviously, that's an off-season problem. We're more focused on the standings and winning basketball games right now, but just wanted to throw that out there.
The Seth Curry update too. They said he's most likely going to be playing in pain for the rest of the season. But when you watch him, doesn't look like he's in too much pain. The guy is still just lights out from three, and he just does a little bit of everything. Another guy that just stuffs the stat sheet all over the place for us. 3-level scorer, fights on defense. But yeah, apparently they think that he's going to be in pain for the rest of the season. And what did they say? They said they're going to try to manage his minutes.
Yep. If you look, he only played 30 tonight. He only played 29 against the Hornets. He only played 22 against the Heat. Granted, that was an absolute blowout. Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like they're trying to keep him around 30 right now. It'll be interesting to see what he plays against the Bucks on Thursday, because that's obviously a big game. Pretty much the only – the last tough game on the Nets schedule is the Bucks. So it'll be interesting to see how serious they are on limiting those minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a situation where like, we always say, like, oh, like a guy that's resting, if it's a playoff game, he would be playing through it. I think it's more just, like, they're going to try to keep his minutes not at, like, say, 35 before the playoffs, and just hope that, like – he could rehab it throughout the rest of the regular season and really be just full go come playoff time.
100%. And just a note, like, we saw a couple almost scary plays tonight for the Nets. Kevin Durant rolled his ankle driving to the basket. He walked it off. RJ was like, oh, that's one of the ones where it's going to hurt tomorrow. So that's something to keep an eye on the injury report. I mean, he ended up playing the rest of the game tonight, so, like, he should be okay. But when you, like, get rid of that adrenaline, like, you stop moving around, that could swell up. So that's something to keep an eye on. Seth Curry landed on someone's foot, so that's something to keep an eye on with his right ankle, which is the ankle that was good. And then Kyrie Irving took a knee-to-knee contact on a screen. So, I mean, those are three big players that hopefully – don't end up on the injury report, even as questionable going to the game against Milwaukee, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they asked me right after the game. So RJ was talking to me, said I'll be fine. I'm just chilling. It's no issue. So hopefully that's true. But like you said, you never know. It could happen overnight and you sleep on it. But
right,
they're like three of our four best players, I'd say, or three of our three best players, depending on how you rank Curry and Drummond.
Yeah. Scary, for sure.
Dome, do you want to give a little – can I give a little standings update real quick, Cody?
Yeah, go for it.
So after the games played today, there's only one game left, and that's like in the West, so it has no effect on the standings out here. On the Eastern Conference, for the Nets, they're currently in the 8th seed still. They are a game up on Charlotte. So I would say a game loosely because, like, if they end up tying, like, they don't have a tiebreaker anymore, so you'd at least have the game. So they're a game up on Charlotte, game and a half up on Atlanta. Both are non-action tonight. They're 2.5 behind Cleveland and 3.5 behind Toronto for 6. But the Bulls are only up a half game on Toronto for 5. So that can get a little interesting for 5-6. I don't think the Nets really can get out of the plan at this point. So I think we're going to stop having to watch Toronto's scores. And they're like one loss away from not even worrying about Cleveland, to be honest. But right now they're 2.5 behind Cleveland. I only say that can get interesting is because Cleveland has a very tough schedule to finish up a season. They have the Mavericks tomorrow. And they have the Hawks. I don't know who you root for in that scenario. I guess I don't really, honestly, I don't know. I guess just whatever happens. And after that, we play them head to head. So keep in mind that they have the 76ers and the Bucks, and they have two easy games against the Knicks and the Magic. But like they have like of their 6-7 games left, they have like 5 hard ones. So if the Nets can like stack up wins, they can technically catch Cleveland to get the home court in the 7-8 playing game. I know 7 versus 8 is not as important as like 8 versus 9 in terms of like the magnitude, but you'd always prefer to play the game at Barclays Center versus going on the road playing someone else's arena. So that's just something to like keep an eye on for the Nets, I guess. But you definitely want to steer clear of Charlotte and Atlanta, who are only a game and a half behind them. So you can easily fall to 10. You're closer to 10, you are to 7.
Yeah. Just one thing to note that the Nets do control their own destiny. The Nets and the Hornets both have played 76 games. The Nets are up a full game. So to avoid that tiebreak situation, no matter what Charlotte does, if the Nets win out, at worst, they will be the 8th seed.
Yeah.
Charlotte cannot catch them unless Nets the Nets
have Milwaukee
lose.
Thursday. Then after Milwaukee, the Nets finish the season against Atlanta, Houston, Knicks, Cavs, Pacers. There's not a tough, tough game there. Like, I know there's not, like, and we almost lost to Detroit today, so I'm not saying any of these teams are gimmies. But after Milwaukee, there's not a top, top-tier team you're playing. So they should. I want them to finish at least 5-1. Personally, I'd be very confident. You finish the season. If you go 5-1, the Nets currently they'd be 45-37. It's not a bad record considering everything that's happened this season.
Oh yeah, I'll take an over 500 record with the season we've had this year. All day.
We're over. So if we don't finish over 500, we'll be a little pissed. We'd probably lose out.
Yeah. Well, if they don't finish over 500, they're going to be sitting at that 10 seed. So,
yeah. Okay. I really don't want to be in that 9-10 playing game at all. It's like such a big
game. Yeah, like we have to get at the 7 or the 8. That's really what we need. Yeah. It's like if I don't – like I would put the Nets up against anybody and be confident, but that's the only thing is I trust them to beat anybody. I don't trust them to win 2 go-home games in a row right now.
It's scary, yeah. It really is.
I just don't want to be in that situation whatsoever. Because, like, that's when it gets scary.
Forget the Nets. I don't know if my heart can handle that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather go into one of them and then hopefully just win it and then get into the dance.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather go in, have the ability to lose a game, and then go into a winner go home game. Like, that's, like, it's just the sense of security more than anything, I think.
It's weird, too, because at the top of – see, the way the East is constructed, it's, like, 3 different groups of teams. So you have the top teams, like, Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, and Philly are all within a game and a half each other. So that's constantly flipping. And, like, with the playing games, you don't know who's playing who. So we really have no clue of – those are probably one of the 4 teams we're playing. At least we know it's one of Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, or Philly if we get out of the play-in.
Well, yeah, Anthony, like you were just saying, like, Boston was the 1 seed yesterday, right? And now they're 4th.
The 3. And then Chicago and Toronto have their own little cluster with Cleveland. They're all a game and a half in front of each other, and 5 through 7 is a big difference. And you have like the Nets 9 through 10 cluster. Like the Nets can crack the other cluster, but it's going to be tough, like we said. But it's like three different clusters, and you really have no clue how it's going to happen. There's a world where the Bulls can go into this play-in scenario against the Nets. They're only a game and a half up on the play-in, the Bulls.
Yeah, like, and we all know what Nikola Vucevic has done to the Nets, so I don't want to even deal with that. Let alone DeMar and Zach and Lonzo and all them. But Vucevic is a certified Nets killer. I don't want to deal with that, especially in a play-in game.
I think we all want wins in the 7-8 matchup right now. I think that's what everyone is
looking
for.
Yeah, I think everybody wants Cleveland in the 7-8, and then it's just about, like, we'll take on Cleveland, and regardless of the result, then you just got to play who's in front of you. Like, that's really all that it is. Chicago. What happened?
So, like, would you rather play Toronto or Chicago? Because Chicago, you have a Kyrie, but a better team.
Chicago.
What?
I'd rather play Chicago.
Me too. That's scary. Going against DeRozan, Levine, and Vooch. Good Lord.
Yeah, I know, but they've been on a very steep decline ever since they were holding that one seed for about like 2 weeks. They've been on a very, very steep decline. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, and they've been just trying to get everybody back. Vucevic hasn't looked the same this year. Like, he's had his good moments, but he's definitely declined a little bit. Caruso's been in and out. I believe Caruso, like, his original injury happened against us, right?
No, he got hurt by the Grayson Allen.
Oh, right. But I think there was another, like, there was a game where he left and didn't come back against us. I know that.
Yeah, I think the injury, some other injury. That was earlier in the year, though. Yeah, it was only the Bucks round one, honestly, for keeping it on.
Yeah, that's the only one I don't want to really see. Like, everybody else.
Like Miami, Boston, Philly, even. Just Milwaukee. Like, can we just avoid them? Like, it'd be cool if they got like the one seed or two seed. Like, we got like some sort of the bracket where like we don't see them to conference finals.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean,
this is always, this was updating you guys.
If this was 2 years ago, we'd be living in a world where the Nets could just straight up miss the playoffs, like not even get a chance if they lose one game.
Yeah, crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
And it's like, I don't really
think the Lakers are 11.
Yeah, the Lakers really think... tonight. They're in the 11 spot.
When they made the play-in tournament, I don't think they thought that, like, LeBron, Kevin Durant, like Kyrie, like all these big name players, they didn't. I don't think they expected it to be.
The play-in tournament was designed to get Zion in the playoffs. That's what it was. Like, because they just wanted Zion in the playoffs, and the West was stacked at the time. The Pelicans just didn't have enough. And they were like, oh, yeah, we could add a couple more seeds to really play in there. So at least we can get Zion on one national televised playoff game.
I remember they got Washington in the bubble, and they, like, had no – like, they had no reason to be in the bubble, and they just had to invite them because they invited Zion. It was so funny.
Yeah. And, I mean, the bubble, that whole situation was so wild. Just, like
– you'll see.
Like, the Suns got invited, went 8-0, and didn't make the playoffs. Like, that's so nuts.
These last 2 weeks, the NBA season will be really nuts from a standing standpoint, especially.
It's going to be wild to see how it plays out, honestly. Like, I have no idea how it's all going to fall.
Yeah, man. The bottom of the West, holy crap, it's horrible. The Spurs are currently in the play-in tournament. They would be the 13th seed in the East. That's insane. Yeah. They're 31-44, and they're the 10th seed. The Pelicans are 32-43, and they're the 9 seed. They have the same record as the Wizards, who are currently the 12 seed in the East.
God damn.
That's that crazy, but I mean.
Tell me that weak-ass conference, LeBron still can't make the playoffs? Come on.
No. I mean, the top of the West is a lot better than the top of the East, but but it's just crazy how far the East has come, really, like. It's a lot of young guys, young teams in that 7-10 spot. Like, we were even 6 with the Raptors. They're all young, and like, they're just gonna keep getting better. The East is slowly becoming the better conference, in my opinion. It's definitely the deeper conference. I could see like Toronto beating any of the teams 1-5. Like, the Nets and 8 could see them. I could see Cleveland taking Miami to 7. Like, it's a very balanced conference, in my opinion. Like, you look at all these teams, and they're all above 500, every single one of them, in the top 10.
Imagine the Nets get a play scenario where they get Miami round one, then, like, Toronto round two. I think that'd be so.
I want it to work out. That's the one I want to work out, where we don't see Toronto at all, unless it'll be like a
comfort. Oh, well, I don't want to go to Toronto, right? Because of Kyrie, you're right.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
So, like, getting my ass in, like, Chicago or, like, something like that would be nice.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
What were you saying, Cody?
Did you guys see what Brian Windhorst said today about the Celtics in Toronto?
I did see that.
I did not.
He basically hinted at the fact that the Celtics could be without some very key players against Toronto. None of them played last night. Tatum, Brown, and there was another guy that didn't play in Toronto. They weren't on the injury report the day before. And when asked, they asked the Celtics front office if they would be missing any players in a playoff scenario against Toronto, their response was no comment. So Brian Windhorst was very strongly hinting that the Celtics would be without players if they had to play in Toronto.
Interesting.
Which once again goes back to that competitive advantage, where it's any team in Canada has a huge advantage over a United States team.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that plays out.
That's wild. How has that been working with the NHL? Does anybody know or no? Like,
I don't follow there's the obviously NHL, a man.
Lot. Of, neither do I. That's why I was just wondering. Like, there's so many like teams in Canada for the NHL, but there's also shit ton of teams in the U.S. Like, I wonder how that works travel-wise. Right. All the hockey players are just like they all just got the vaccine and nobody's heard about it, because I haven't heard anything about like certain big time hockey players not being able to go to Canada.
Yeah, man, the reporter that works at the Brooklyn Game that I kind of help out, he used to cover the Islanders for 10 years, so I'm sure he's got some hockey connections. I'll find out for our next episode.
Nice.
I'll shoot him a text and find out what's going on in the hockey world.
But I know my Leafs fans are complaining about the fact that they play the Blue Jays in Toronto.
Right. But, yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, there's still a couple weeks, two and a half weeks, basically, until the playoffs, like the actual playoffs start. So, I mean, things can still change then. There was no hope for Kyrie in Brooklyn, and then, boom, 2 days later, he was cleared to play. So, we'll see what happens. Anything else on the game tonight? Are you ready to move on to our picks against Milwaukee?
I am very ready to move on.
All right, Joe, get us started.
I unfortunately am going to take a loss against Milwaukee.
Me and Anthony are tied now. So does that mean I still pick first? Or?
Yeah, because you had the lead over him. So you got to go right. First.
I'm taking a win.
Okay.
The Nets get up for big opponents in the East. They've done it this last month and a half. I think they're going to do it again on Thursday.
The Brooklyn Nets will win the ballgame.
Win the ball game. Uh-oh, Joe, me and Anthony are about to make up a game on you.
Yeah, all right, we'll see. Until Giannis comes in.
So we're five out with six to go, so we need to go flawless. So you can't play against Joe the rest of the way. That's all we have to do.
Like, yeah, if Joe wins,
if Joe wins, he's 32. He's upset. Yeah, this can clinch Joe, actually.
As first place.
If the Nets lose, Joe wins the season. Then me and Cody are just playing for second and third.
That's crazy.
It pains me that the way you won was off a Nets 3-17 stretch as well.
Sorry.
You've had a guess catching Joe.
But are we continuing this in the playoffs, or are we just doing regular season?
Oh,
I don't know.
We don't know how long
our playoff run's gonna be, so that makes
it. Whoa.
I'm just saying. Like there is a real chance where there is no playoffs.
I know. I saw some people saying on Twitter, like the Nets are like, I wouldn't be surprised if they won the championship. I also wouldn't be surprised if they didn't even make it out of the play-in tournament.
I mean, and yeah, that's like a perfect way that the Nets that's a perfect way to describe the Nets season. It really is.
They just take game by game at this point. That's all I'm doing. Yep. Kevin Durant said it best after the game. They said, like, what are they worried about seeding? What are they worried about? Because Grady asked him. He goes, man, I just want to get into the play-in and the playoffs, like, healthy. Like, that's all I care about. That's such a good point. Like, I literally, like, if anything, just get into this little run and healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. See what happens. Anything else we got to talk about? We hit everything. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Anthony, Joe, and Cody. The Nets survived the scare from the Detroit Pistons tonight, and we're going into a showcase game on national television against the Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday. Let's go, Nets.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.